Hi, I'm Darren Peppard. Welcome to the Leaning Into Leadership podcast, the podcast dedicated to today's hardworking leader. Join me every Sunday for leadership insight, inspiration, and a little pep talk to keep you rolling down your road to awesome.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into episode 136 of the Leaning Into Leadership podcast. My guest on the show today, folks, is Sonia Shelton. And if you don't know who Sonia Shelton is, let me tell you what you need to know for this particular episode. So Sonia is the person that has navigated all the ins and outs in the business world, from successful startups with brand new ideas to well-established Fortune 500 companies. Sonia founded Executive Leadership Consulting in 2007 from her passion for partnering with leaders and high achievers to create a clear vision and build work environments where employees are fulfilled and completely committed to their organization's success. She has captured her leadership tips and success stories in her number one Amazon best-selling book, You're an Executive, But Are You a Leader? Now, here's something really interesting about Sonia, and I guess a little teaser for you. Fairly early in the interview, Sonia is going to talk about one of the roles that she held in corporate America, actually working for the Disney Corporation as the head of internal communication at the time when the Disney family actually led a stockholder revolt to oust the current CEO at that time. The lessons learned from that alone are so worth diving into this podcast episode. But that's not where the leadership gold stops, folks. That's just the teaser. That's just the part that like whets your appetite, because Sonia's going to dive in and talk about five P's that she feels are absolutely critical for culture and strategy to not compete against each other, not does culture eat strategy for breakfast, but rather to have culture and strategy sit down and eat breakfast together at the same table. Yes, that's right, folks. We have to get those things all going together, not focus on one over the other. Folks, this is such a great interview. I think you're really going to enjoy this. I think you're going to find a ton of value in it, and you're going to get it all right after this. Are you a school or district leader looking to unlock the full potential of your team? Do you dream of a cohesive, empowered staff all marching to the same beat? Well, then look no further. Introducing the ultimate solutions, high-performance leadership teams from Road to Awesome, our two-day leadership retreat designed exclusively for school and district leaders like you. And picture this, a tranquil setting, away from the hustle and bustle, away from the email, away from the phone calls and the constant interruptions. Over the course of two transformative days, you and your fellow leaders strategize, collaborate, and align your visions. You dive deep into discussions, workshops, and team-building activities all geared towards one common goal, unleashing the collective power of your leadership team. But this isn't just any retreat. It's a dynamic, hands-on experience crafted by experts in education and leadership development. You'll walk away with practical tools, actionable strategies, and a renewed sense of purpose to tackle any challenge that comes your way. Imagine the impact of having your entire leadership team on the same page, working effectively and efficiently towards a shared vision. With our retreat, that dream becomes a reality. So if you're ready to revolutionize your leadership approach, inspire your team, and drive real results in your school, don't miss out on this opportunity. Reach out now to start planning your two-day leadership retreat and take the first steps towards transforming your school for the better. Visit roadtoawesome.net or email me at darren@roadtoawesome.net to set up a free consultation and launch your team into a successful year. Your journey towards exceptional leadership, your journey on the road to awesome, starts right here.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow. And the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. Now let's get on to the episode.
So for the most part, when school leaders move into their role as a school leader. They come from the classroom, and often it's because they've done a great job in the classroom. You know, they've been successful, students have grown, you know, they've built good relationships, probably taken on, you know, some different teacher leadership roles within their building or within the school district. But most leaders discover very quickly, once they move into that new leadership role, that the skills they had before don't always translate into the skills they need to be successful as a school level leader. Among those are the skills necessary to build strong culture and climate, but also the skills that are needed to be a strategic thinker. Now, how do those two things play together? How do we make those two things really play well in the sandbox, if you will? Today on the show, my guest is Sonia Shelton. She is the author of the book, You're an Executive, But Are You a Leader? And we're going to talk today about that exact movement right there, that alignment of strategy and culture. Sonia, thanks for joining me here on the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited about our conversation today.
Yeah, absolutely. So before we get into all of that conversation, let's maybe, rewind a decade or so back to the early parts of your career, as far back as you choose to hit the rewind button, and maybe kind of, I guess orient our listeners with who Sonia is and where she's coming from and some of the experiences that have led to you being somebody who really has found that expertise in aligning both strategy and culture.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I will go back very early because my parents were actually business owners, and they had a lot of conversations about the hardest part of business, which usually has to do with people, at the dinner table, right? So I found it very boring when I was even a teenager. It happened. I didn't really realize that I was absorbing it as much as I did, but really kind of saw what leadership looks like and some of the challenges that happen. And so when I stepped into my own career, I started my career in communications. I would always quickly rise up in the ranks in just exactly what you're saying, right? Like, so as teachers have high performance and they come into leadership, every job I ever had, that happened to me, right? And because I could see that bigger picture. And then I had this experience in my last job before I started executive leadership consulting, which I was the head of internal communications for the Walt Disney Company globally. And I was there at a time when nobody in my position had ever experienced what I experienced, and nobody in that position will ever experience it again. And we had a member of the Disney family, Roy Disney, leading a shareholder revolt against our CEO at the time, Michael Eisner. So I had this experience of working for Disney at a time who's absolutely known for having a tremendous culture, and it was when I first started working there, but then also being there at a time when it was the worst of the worst, and like a company going through a divorce, also seeing the impact on me as a leader. And it really gave me a lot of empathy for leaders in their environment and their culture that they work in, but also kind of showed me how I showed up in that environment and got feedback from my team that it wasn't great, right? And we had an honest conversation about why and what does that look like? And we can actually change that for ourselves, you know, even if we can't change it in the broader organization. And so it really started making me very passionate about what leaders go through and the importance of culture in an organization.
That's so interesting. And, you know, obviously, you and I have had a conversation prior to hitting the record button, and I've had quite a bit of time to process and think about that experience for you to be in that particular position when that upheaval was happening at the corporate level there at Disney. It makes me think a little bit on a much, much smaller scale about something that over the last handful of years, probably the last 2 to 3 years, has been happening in the education space. And that has been a change in the dynamic of the school board. The school board has become a much more political space. It didn't used to be much of a political space. You might have somebody who ran for school board because that was like their stepping stone to get them to city council, and then who knows where they might go. But it has become a very political space. And what that has led to is, in many cases across the country, the ousting of superintendents from their schools. And in many cases, not all, but in many cases, it's schools where, or districts where the culture is pretty strong, but certainly some political pressures due to just all kinds of things happening in our political world have pushed that type of reaction. Let's talk just a little bit more about kind of that internal dynamic, because I think a lot of listeners that are dialed in on the show maybe are in a position not too dissimilar from what yours was, you know, maybe in a leadership role within the district, but they're not maybe that superintendent, and they're going through this upheaval, and there's going to be this change in leadership and change in structure and that kind of thing. What were some things that you learned in your role at that time, aside from where we're going to go with culture and strategy, but just as that employee and somebody who was leading a team and leading other individuals?
Yes, I learned so much from it. I think it's, you know, I think that schools go through something similar to what I went through, because Disney is who Disney is, right? That a lot of information was being disseminated in the press, right? So I'm sure something like a superintendent would also be, you know, in the press, also being addressed, you know, by parents, right? And questions about what's going to happen and perspectives from the parents, and how do you, and the impact of that information, sometimes accurate information, sometimes inaccurate information, happening within as you're leading a school, right? So the making sure that the teachers and all of the staff are getting the right information and the accurate information, especially when what's coming externally isn't accurate, and really staying on top of that, and also prepping them to say, you know, this is what happens when we're in this kind of thing. And so there's going to be times when they don't get it right, or they're going to have a bias in their perspective. And so just be aware that we're going to give you all the information that we know as we have it, and as accurately as possible, so that you develop that trust and a little bit of safety and security, psychological safety in there when it can feel very disruptive and people are saying, you know, what's going to happen? What is this going to do to my future? A lot of what my team's responsibility was exactly that, right? And also reminding people what we're here to do when all of this political storm is happening, that focused on, you know, we still have a company to run, we still have a school to run, and we need to stay focused on what we're here to do. And that doesn't change despite what all of these other things are happening, is happening too, right?
I think that's a huge... Yeah, that's a huge piece right there, is really keeping your eye on the ball and not forgetting that, you know, you do, whether it's you have a company still to run or you have a school to run. I mean, you still have, you know, in the case of Disney, you still had patrons coming through the door constantly and, you know, through the turnstiles. And then at the school level, obviously, you know, you still have kids coming into your classrooms each and every day. And I think you make an important point there. And I'm really going to capitalize on this with you being you know, in that communication space specifically, because I think sometimes we do get so caught up in all of that other stuff that's happening. And maybe the best way to call it, or to phrase it, is drama. But, you know, we can't let that affect the work that we're doing each and every day. And I would imagine, you know, probably I would be very surprised if I was not at a Disney park at some point in time when that upheaval was happening. And I'm sure as a patron of Disney, I had no idea that it was happening. And I think we would want the same thing in our classrooms, right? That the kids don't really need to know what all is happening with the board and the superintendent. Talk a little bit more about that, especially from that communications perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, even in my coaching and consulting now, I always remember I always remind leaders, no matter what level of leader you are, you're leading one person, you're leading thousands of people, it's the same. You have your own personal paparazzi that is watching everything that you do. And they're saying, are your words and your actions in alignment? So, you know, during something like that, constantly being, all of us that were in leadership positions, were constantly being looked at to say, well, are they on, like, which side are they on? Right. and what's their perspective? And,
yeah.
And really, I think in times of crisis like that, under more scrutiny, but you don't have to be in crisis to have that paparazzi happening. It's always happening. And I'll give you another example from a client of mine. It was a large company, and the CEO was very passionate about safety. It was a manufacturing company. In his previous role, he had somebody that was severely injured in a factory accident, and it really hit his heart. And he said, never again on my watch, right? And so he was super passionate about safety. All these safety rules it was everywhere you went in the culture of the organization was the importance of safety, even at the corporate office, which is where I was consulting. And so we had rules like, if you were in the cafeteria, you needed to have a lid on your soup, a lid on your coffee, right? Like, you know, things like that. So he went down for lunch into the cafeteria. I wasn't there when I was in the building, but I wasn't there when he got his lunch. And he did not put a lid on his soup. And within 10 minutes, now keep in mind, I'm not an employee of this company, and I wasn't there, but within 10 minutes, I heard about it. So that's how that works, right? Yeah. That people are looking all the time to see, are you walking your talk, right? Right? How are you showing up as a leader?
Oh, yeah.
And I think a lot of leaders don't take that into consideration because they think I'm just a person, right? Right? And you are, right? You're just a person, but right. you're always on stage, always being, you know, observed to see, you know, are you walking your talk? Can we believe you? Can we trust you? Should we follow you? Because you have that integrity.
Well, and so much of what you're saying there goes into the real nuts and bolts of communication. It isn't just about emails, and it isn't just about the words that you say. It is your actions. It is, you know, how you choose to. I love how you said it, because I use this phrase all the time. It's how you show up every single day. And if you're not, even, you know, even for a small moment, you know, CEO not walking with a lid on his soup in the cafeteria, all right, small thing. But you know what? That's one of those things. I mean, there's always going to be people who are looking for misalignment. You know, well, you say this, but I saw this from you, even if it's just one time. So you're right. Leaders are always on. You can never turn that spotlight off. So it's important that leaders are ensuring that their actions and their words really line up closely. And I think that ties in with something I love to talk about all the time, which is being really, really clear about what matters to you. Yeah, obviously, in the case in the story that you shared, you know, we have somebody who safety is our number one priority. This is what we stand for. This is what we are all about. And I'm sure, even except for the one situation, I guess, where he let his guard down, but I'm sure that he had his eyes tuned very carefully around, you know, things that could be considered unsafe practices. Let's jump in now to taking that and moving forward with, so, you know, superintendent has been ousted or CEO has been ousted, and somebody new comes in and they need to figure out, number one, what do they care about? What matters to them? What are they going to be looking for? They also have to be really clear about two things. And those are the two things I really want us to get into: culture of the organization and the strategies you're going to use to move the organization forward. That's your strength. That's what you do with your consulting work. So Talk to me a little bit. I said it at the opening, strategy and culture playing together in the sandbox. How do we make that happen? If I'm a new leader, if I'm somebody who's either new in a role or new in a leadership role, period, how do I look for that? And what are some things I should do?
Yeah, I think, you know, most organizations, no matter what industry they're in, lean towards one or the other, right? And there's this quote by Peter Drucker who said that culture eats strategy for breakfast. And I used to believe that. I used to think, well, yeah, it's all about culture. Yeah. Because culture can crash strategy. Absolutely. But strategy can crash culture too. And that's what I started to realize, that when organizations were moving too far towards one or the other, and we've seen examples where, you know, there's been some companies that have moved too far to culture and to the detriment of the business performance. And then we have too many examples of strategy being more important than culture, right? So what I started to see was actually culture doesn't eat strategy for breakfast. They need to have breakfast together. They're equally important and they need to be aligned and supporting each other. And so when we work with clients on that, we start with purpose, right? So what is our purpose as an organization? And you know, for a school, you might think that, oh, well, every school has the same purpose, right? It's to educate students, provide a good education. Yes, but then what's your way? What makes your school or your district special? What makes you different? What makes you your way of doing it? And we do that with by starting with why. So if you've ever heard of the book Start With Why by Simon Sinek, we totally agree with him. And so we start with why and purpose. Well, you know, why do you do what you do? What drives you? And then from there, how do you deliver on that why? So what's your way of processing information, going about the education process? What's your way? And then what can others expect from you? So what can the students expect from you? What can the parents expect from you? What can the community expect from you? And then those three ingredients together, your why, your how, and your what, is what we call purpose. And then we have this methodology called Red Thread Leadership, where we take that purpose and we run it through everything that you do. So where do you want to, what's your plan? What for this purpose, right? So that's your vision, your strategy, your goals, right? Like how are you going to grow this purpose? And then from there, once you understand your purpose and your plan, what processes need to change, right? Because I often see, and I think in organizations like schools, they're not any different, right? That I often see in organizations where they have processes in place because, well, you know, Maria used to work here and she really liked to see it this way. And Maria's been gone for 5 years, but we still do it this way because that's how we've always done it, right? And so it really opens up to empower the staff to say, if this is our purpose and our plan, we're going to empower you to really question those processes. And are those processes the most efficient way of doing things? And are they going to align us to our plan and our purpose, where we want to go? And then we also look at positions, right? So how do we know who to hire? How do we know who to promote? How are we structured? Do we have people in the right place? How are decisions made? And then finally, the fifth step is what passion, which is what we call culture. So are people passionate about the purpose of the organization? Are they passionate about their role in that purpose? Do they understand it? And then do they trust each other? And so we take all of those, what we call the five P's, starting with purpose and running that the red thread of that purpose through everything that you do as an organization to really drive that connection between culture and strategy.
So somebody just pulled their car over and they're like, okay, I got to go back a little bit and here, write these down. So let's just give them really quick, the cliff notes, so they don't have to hit rewind, 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 you know, that right. Little 10 second or 15 second back button. Five P's, go. Five P's.
Yeah. So starting with your purpose, then your plan, then your process, then your positions, then the passion.
Love it so much. And I think, you know, that to me, what that really outlines, what that really lays out is a system. I was telling you before we hit the record button that so many school level leaders, again, you know, they've done a great job in the classroom to move forward, but that skill set doesn't always translate. And a part of it is they aren't necessarily strategic or systems type of thinkers. And having a system in place, something that you can go back to, I love the red thread concept, because it's very much a, hey, I have a decision to make. Let's run it through all five of these P's. Does it check all the boxes? Because if it doesn't, maybe we should be thinking about, do we even make this decision? Is this something that's really relevant to us? Because if it gets stuck, I would think, and tell me if I'm off base here, Sonia, but I think if it gets stuck anywhere in those first few P's, when we get to that fifth P, passion, which you are tying to our culture, that's going to unravel our culture if we're not hitting the mark there, right? Talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So one of the things that I do, and this is something any leader can do, is I will ask a random five people in an organization, tell me about your purpose and vision here. And if I can get, and this will tell me one of three things. One, they don't know. Like, okay, it's either not defined or it's on a PowerPoint slide somewhere and nobody's actually embedded it into the culture of the organization. Number two, they might say a formulaic, memorized thing, right? So they might say, well, our vision is to blah, 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 blah. And they've read it off the PowerPoint slide. Right. They have it memorized, but they don't own it. Right. So that's what I'd say is engagement, not passion, right? They know it, they can recite it, but it's not really theirs. Right. And then, or the third, I get five different answers that are all in their own words saying the same thing. And then that's when I know that the organization has passion. And I've done this hundreds of times. There's only been one time, it was actually a school district, where I was speaking at one of their retreats and they invited me to have lunch with them before it was time for me to speak. And so I walked around and I asked the question, and sure enough, every single person, I kept going beyond five because I was like, wow, this is impressive. I've never seen this before, but they all knew what was the purpose, what was the vision. They were owning it. Right. So it's something very simple that you can do as a leader or have somebody else do if you think that they might not give you the straight answer, and really see where you are in terms of, do people understand where you're going as an organization, and are they on board with that?
Yeah, well, obviously, that's a huge piece, right? I mean, when we think about that purpose, that's really creating that compelling vision, right? That everybody can feel and see a part of, like, you know, this isn't just where I want to go. This is where we are going to go. I love that so much. And yes, when everybody has clear ownership of that, that's when you get exactly what you're talking about. When everybody can explain their role, they know what they're supposed to be doing and how that impacts the ultimate, you know, purpose of their organization. And whether that's a business organization or a school, I think that's just really, really important stuff. Let's touch base just really quick on the book. So the book, been out for a little bit, but obviously a book that still is very relevant today. You're an executive, but are you a leader? Talk about the gist behind the book and maybe just give us a couple of nuggets that we might find outside of what you've already talked about.
Yeah, I really wrote the book as for what I would want as a leader, right? So I kind of looked at, okay, when I was at Disney, what was my time like? Did I have time to sit down and read a 300-page book with a bunch of case studies? No, right? So it's very short. It's 50 chapters, and it's organized with a tip that is going to move you forward on one of the five P's, a case study, which is a combination of clients so that I could keep confidentiality of how somebody could have implemented that tip. And then the coaching questions that I would ask if I were coaching you. And so it can be a book that you can read cover to cover, or you can say, oh, this is the challenge I'm facing right now, and just read those three pages. I've had people that never even became clients that went through the whole thing and like a workbook answered all the questions and develop their leadership that way. So it's really designed to be a resource that you can come back to and connect to, you know, there's all these dimensions of leadership that we've been talking about, and some we haven't even addressed yet, right? That show up when you're a leader. And so it's really just designed to be a resource for you. When you have a challenge, you have a place to say, oh, here's the advice. Here's an example of how they used it. And then here's what I should be thinking about it when I'm doing it.
I think that's a really powerful resource as well. I mean, that's something that, you know, I love to use case studies quite frequently with my leadership teams, you know, just so we have an opportunity to talk about scenarios. You know, it's not often that some of those scenarios will come up, but boy, when you have the opportunity to tabletop some of those things that might be a little bit different or maybe even just a little mundane, it's an opportunity for the leadership team to come together and to talk about different situations, talk about how they react in certain situations, and ultimately continue to grow as a leader. So folks, definitely go check that out. I think that's a resource that is certainly something that you can put into play right now with your leadership team to help them continue to grow, to help you continue to grow, and obviously to grow together as a team. I'll make sure that we put that down in the show notes, the link, so you can go grab a copy of that book. We've reached that time, man. I'll tell you what, Sonia, this conversation just flew by. But we've reached that point in time already in the show where I'm going to ask you the same question I ask everybody who comes here on the podcast. And this is the Leaning Into Leadership podcast. So how are you leaning into leadership right now?
Yeah, you know, I actually have it as my theme for the year to have more connection. I think in the past three or four years, we've sort of lost connection with each other, lost connection with ourselves in some ways, right? So this year, my whole focus is about increasing connection, you know, reaching back out to people, reconnecting relationships, helping others connect. So when I can see an opportunity, somebody is looking for something, and I know somebody like looking for those opportunities to bring people together. And, you know, leadership is about making those connections, right? We've been talking about the red thread, right? The connecting, the purpose. All of that has to do with connecting people first, right? And so that's my focus for this year.
Love it. Excellent, excellent focus as well. So, Sonia, people are going to want to get in touch with you. What's the best way for them to reach out, get connected, and have a conversation with you?
Yeah, so the best way is our website for Executive Leadership Consulting, which is executiveleader.com. On there, you have access to our social media. If you want to connect on social media, there's a place where you can connect with me and send me a note if you want to. There's a ton of free information. So we do, you know, free webinars and masterclasses. There's a masterclass on Red Thread Leadership on there on how to implement it. It's free. And so there's a lot of resources on there and blog articles and things like that, whatever you're looking for, as well as a link to the book. So that's best way, one-stop shop is at executiveleader.com.
Outstanding. We'll make sure and put that down in the show notes as well, folks, so you can just hit that hyperlink and get yourself right over there to executiveleadership.com. Sonia, thank you so much for joining me here on Leaning Into Leadership.
Thank you. I really enjoyed the conversation. It did go by so fast.
Yeah, it was just such a good interview with Sonia Shelton. And I appreciate you listening to that. I appreciate her joining us here on the show. I really appreciated that she shared those key steps, purpose, plan, process, positions, and passion, and how that connects to really getting strategy and culture to align with each other. Certainly, when she and I had our first pre-call before we even hit the record button, we talked about the Peter Drucker quote, culture eats strategy for breakfast. And she's like, yeah, but does it? And that really led to where we went in this interview and in this conversation. So I hope you enjoyed that. I hope you go down and hit the links in the show notes, pick up a copy of her book, get in contact with her. Sonia is doing some really wonderful work. And now it's time for a pep talk. So earlier this week, I was listening to one of my favorite podcasts. Man, I listen to so many different podcasts, but I will tell you, John Acuff's All It Takes Is a Goal is one of my absolute favorites. And part of it is because I have become a little bit more goal-driven. Part of it is John has just got great humor. And then a part of it is, too, when he has guests on, they are extremely thought-provoking. And this particular episode that I listened to, his guest was Craig Groeschel. And, man, what a thought-provoking interview that one was. And he talked about his book, which is called Think Forward. And I think I'm actually going to pick up a copy of the book and check that out because I really like what he talked about there. But that's not really the piece that I want to hit the pep talk. You see, he also talked about as an individual, as a leader, that there were times where he was challenged by him, by his own self, honestly, because of maybe his own passion. Right? It could lead to some impatience. It could lead to some anger. And that made it a pretty big challenge for him sometimes as a leader. And I felt like as Craig was talking, he was talking to me about me. I know that without question as a leader, I led with a lot of passion and I'm a very impatient person. People who know me will tell you that that's spot on. And it just got me reflecting a lot over the last several days. So I sat down, I wrote the blog post for this week, and I actually came up with five strategies that leaders can use to lean into that emotional intelligence, you know, certainly understanding of yourself that maybe anger or frustration or impatience is a part of your DNA, a part of your makeup. How do you lean into that in that emotional intelligence and still drive positive leadership? So again, in the blog, which is linked in the show notes, I've got five strategies. I just want to talk about two in today's pep talk. And the first one is lead with authenticity, right? I mean, if you're a genuinely passionate person, lead that way. Wear your heart on your sleeve. I know I did that. I know there were times when I would maybe pull back from that. There were times I leaned pretty heavily into it. You've got to understand that if you want to create a culture of trust and transparency, that you got to be yourself. So there's nothing wrong with leading with authenticity, and there's nothing wrong with being just genuinely unapologetically who you are. Just make sure that you're aware of it and that you own being that individual. And the second one that I want to talk about really is just navigating conflict with emotional intelligence. If you know that you're somebody who may run a little hot and cold, if you know you're somebody who can be a little bit reactive, be very strategic, be very intentional when you're dealing with situations that, let's just say, have conflict involved. You know, you as the leader need to be the most emotionally intelligent individual navigating that conflict by being patient, by really listening. Lean heavily into that active listening, not listening to respond, active listening, listening to hear, listening to empathize, listening to understand. If you do those two things, and then go check out the blog, make sure you grab those other three strategies. But if you can lean into those two pieces right there, folks, man, leading with that passion is an okay thing to do. It really, truly is. It's a great sign of a great leader, provided you know what it is that you do well, where you may struggle, and you're cognizant of those things. That's what I got for you this week, folks. Thank you so much for listening to the Leaning Into Leadership podcast. Make sure you get down there, leave us a 5-star review, give us your words of encouragement, folks. The more of those reviews that we get, the more people are going to find our show, the greater our reach is going to be, the more people we can help, the more leaders we can help be the very best leader they can possibly be. So thank you for that. Get out there. Have a road to awesome week. Thank you for listening to the Leaning Into Leadership podcast, brought to you by Road to Awesome. Don't forget, click subscribe,
give a review, and share this with somebody who might also enjoy leaning into leadership.